Good morning. We're going to be reading together from, as we heard, the last passage in John's Gospel. If you've got your scriptures there and would like to open them to John 21, we're going to start reading together at verse 15. And I'll give you a moment to do that. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the disciples that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things, who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
Good morning. My name is Leo Chen. I'm the Mandarin-speaking worker here at Christ Church St. Ives. Some of you don't know me very well, so here's a little bit about me. I love dolphins. And that is why I buy dolphin-safe tuna. Some of you know me a little bit, and you know the reason I buy dolphin-safe tuna is because I love tuna. And few of you know me a little bit more, and you understand I'm still trying to work out how to express my love. And I hope throughout the John series you have seen more of Jesus, got to know him a little bit better, and your faith in him has grown. And let's pray that God will just, you know, grow our faith again today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your word today again, you will open our eyes to see Jesus, enlighten our minds to believe in Jesus, move our hearts to love Jesus, and strengthen our feet to follow Jesus. Amen. So today, we are at the last beat of John's Gospel. If John's Gospel was a movie, this is the beat that's after the ending, but before the credit rolls. Okay, this is when we are told what happened to some of the characters. They move on to certain things. The main story has finished. The Word that was with God became flesh. The light of all humanity conquered death by death and resurrection, and made eternal life available to everyone who believes in him. Done. And now, Peter went back to fishing, but that's not Jesus' plan for him. The plan, rather than catching fish, is to looking after the sheep. Peter will turn from a fisherman to a shepherd. Jesus told Peter three times, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." However, Jesus has said more than that. Just after they finished eating, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. They just had breakfast by the sea, maybe, and Jesus started repeatedly questioning Peter. "Do you love me?" Seems to be questioning his loyalty. Imagine being Peter. "Come on. We're just eating. And now you're doing this in front of everybody?" It's not hard to understand why Peter might be feeling hurt, upset, or even embarrassed, like in verse 17. But Jesus did not do this to embarrass Peter. Quite the opposite. Jesus did this to lift Peter up. Because Peter's reputation up till then wasn't that great. Just denied Jesus three times, went back to fishing. And Peter was thought of as a shattered man. Remember when Jared was teaching us back in chapter 18? So now Jesus is exalting Peter here. Whether you think Peter was a coward or courageous, shattered or broken, he is now restored, renewed, and even transformed. Even though he denied Jesus publicly three times, now his love for Jesus is declared three times. It's as if the three denials are now canceled by the three affirmations. The three-time failure is undone by the three-time declaration. Whatever disgrace Peter has caused himself outside that high priest's courtyard is now canceled, removed, erased. Every "I'm not one of his disciples" is now replaced and covered with "Yes, I love you, Lord." And for Jesus, love and commands go together. Love and obedience go together. In John chapter 14, Jesus says these things: "If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." And also, Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings." So after Peter declares his love to Jesus, it is not strange for Jesus to give him a command to obey. Each time Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter gave a "Yes, Lord," very big yes. And every time Peter gave the big yes, Jesus gave Peter a command. Gave him the command is, in essence, be a shepherd. Jesus is entrusting Peter a very important task. Be a shepherd. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. Saying it in different ways, just make sure he gets it. And after confirming his love for Jesus, after receiving the commands to be a shepherd, Peter was immediately told, "This is how you're going to die." And it's not pretty. And of course, this don't go down well with Peter. Peter was like looking around and he saw John and asked, "What about him?" If he was hurt earlier by Jesus asking him three times, "Do you love me?" I'm not sure what happened next is going to help him feel better, because Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? What is that to you? Why are you curious? Are you questioning about fairness? Are you still trying to see who is the greatest?" Jesus was very blunt, telling Peter just to mind his own business. "What is that to you? You must follow me." I don't know, earlier John was told to look after Jesus' mother. That's a different task than what Peter was told to do. Is that why? I don't know, maybe. But what we know is that Jesus is asking the same commitment from both John and Peter, just that the plans are different. Same faith, different jobs. Same love, different outcomes. Same dedication, different ways to die, possibly. There's no point comparing and then feeling jealous or inadequate. You know, we were in the same Christian group back in uni, but now they're doing this and they're doing that, and I'm just... We're in the same Bible college together. Now they're doing this and doing that, and I just... Nor are we supposed to look at others and feel proud and superior. We're on the same beach mission team, but look now. We're in the same prayer group, but look now. Jesus might be just as blunt to me and to us as he was to Peter. What is that to you? You must follow me. We are called to follow Jesus where he leads us, not where he leads the person next to me. So let's not take our eyes off Jesus and look at others and forget about the task that he's given us. Focus on Jesus and follow him. Mind your own business, and your business is to follow Jesus. For Peter, following Jesus means imitating Jesus even in his death. So Peter was to follow Jesus and be a shepherd, like Jesus was a shepherd. The good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life. So it's not all surprising that Jesus be talking about Peter's death. We hear again some familiar words from Jesus. Very truly, I tell you, last time Jesus says this to Peter was when Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Back in chapter 13, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And here, Jesus said this about Peter, very truly I tell you, when you were younger and you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old and you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you, and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Last time Jesus says, I will follow you till I die. Jesus says, no, you won't. And now Jesus says, you will follow me in the way that you die. This is how Peter is renewed, restored, transformed. What Jesus is describing here, getting old, stretching out hands, being led to where you don't want to go, seems to be weird, strange. Is he saying Peter will die on the cross, his arms stretch out like that, or just his life will be, you know, taken from him, needing someone to dress him? What is that about, right? Is that the posture thing, or is it just saying that he will be humbled? How old will he get? You don't seem to be that independent as, you know, Jesus is describing here. Is it going to be an upside-down crucifixion like some people would think? Well, some possibilities are more likely than others, but what we can say for sure is that it won't be easy. It seems to be a very helpless situation. It's not going to be peaceful. But what matters is that Peter's death will glorify God. Peter will glorify God in his death just like Jesus. Just before Jesus was arrested, this is what he was praying. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Just like Jesus' death glorified God, so will Peter's death. This is what good shepherds do. They lay down their lives. And this is what following Jesus looked like. Kind of death that will glorify God. So far we heard Jesus ask, do you love me? Peter answered, yes, Lord. And to love Jesus is to obey his command. And Jesus' command for Peter is to be a shepherd. And to be a good shepherd means you lay down your life for the sheep. And that will glorify God. And this prediction about Peter's death, it's more than just a picture of how Peter will die. It's also, it points us to how Jesus actually died. He was led to where he did not want to go in John 18. The soldiers and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to the father-in-law of the high priest, then sent to the high priest, then to the palace of the Roman governor. Jesus has others dress him. The soldier twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. There they crucified him. This glorified God. And this is what restored, renewed, transformed Peter. The shattered Peter, the one who denied Jesus publicly 3 times, is now forgiven. Jesus' forgiveness is greater than Peter's failure. It doesn't matter how big our mistakes are, how much shame, how heavy the darkness, Jesus can forgive and renew us and then use us in his service. Even though we have let him down enough times, down the mistake creek, or in my case, mistake ocean, he wants us to find that love and give us a chance to express it, to heal the hurts and failures of the past and give us new work to do. I found this quote, I don't know who it is by, the internet can't agree who says this, but most likely Rita Snowden. Failure is never final with God. You ask me what forgiveness means, it is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced him. We all have fallen short of God's glory. But because of Jesus' death that glorified God, we get to live a life that glorifies God. Because we have a good shepherd, we can shepherd his sheep. Because we have been well fed by the good shepherd, we get to feed his sheep. Because Jesus, the shepherd, was led to the cross and died an ugly death, we, the sheep, can have life to the fullest as we follow him. Like John said it in another place, we love because he first loved us. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And John says, there are more to be written about what Jesus did. You can never stop writing how great Jesus is. The internet is not big enough to talk about what Jesus did. The world is not enough. Nothing is big enough to do justice. To word become flesh, dying on the cross, rises from the dead. Jesus is that powerful. The gospel is that rich. And God's grace, to quote a famous Australian theologian and children's songwriter, Colin Buchanan, God's grace is bigger than space. It goes on and on and on and on. Even there's so much more. What we got here in John's gospel is enough. Enough for us to see and believe. Enough for us to, after seeing and believing, have eternal life, to be called God's children. Do you love Jesus? Maybe not yet. Well, Easter is coming. No better chance to get to know him more. Come next Sunday. If you can't wait, come Friday, even Thursday. If you really can't wait, come talk to me or Nigel or any one of the staff members. We want you to come and taste and see that Jesus is worth loving. And happy are those who follow him. Do you love Jesus? What difference does that love make in your life? Maybe it makes you buy certain things or not buy certain things. Maybe it makes you think about what time you're going to have that run Sunday morning before church. Maybe it makes you move to a certain country or a city or a suburb. Maybe it makes you stay in a suburb or city or country. Maybe it makes you send your kids to a certain sports club, or maybe it stops you from sending your kids to a certain sports club. Your love for Jesus might make you join a company or leave one. Take certain clients or reject them. Let's follow Jesus, not worrying about others around us. As for others, we can thank God for them and sometimes be inspired and challenged by their examples. Our focus must remain on Jesus. We as a church want to grow to love Jesus more and more so that our hearts will be filled with joy over what he has done for us, so that his love overflows from us onto others. Doesn't matter if we know them really well or not at all. So we'll be using our gifts to build up others. And our love for Jesus will prompt us to share him with those who need to know his love. Your love for Jesus might make you sign up to serve on a team to build up the church, or make you invite people to your house for lunch just because. It might change your weekly plan so you can be at growth group more regularly to dig deep in God's word. Or it'll make you more intentional when you talk to baristas, car mechanics, other dance dads, I don't know, other midlife crisis people who have unfulfilled dreams on roller skates. Maybe I'm projecting. If you love Jesus, you will follow his footsteps and obey his command. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love towards us in Jesus. Father, we pray for courage to follow him, whatever difference that will make in our lives. Amen.